Clay Travis joins us from OutKick, presented by the Home Loan Expert, Ryan Kelly, homeloanexpert.com. Clay, I hope you're doing well, man.
I am doing well. How are y'all?
Doing well. Paul just mentioned the offensive holding is way down. Points are way up across the league. I'm curious how that has affected some of your top picks when it comes to your weekly picks against the spread.
Well, it's slowed down now, but the early impact was that overs were hitting at like a 60% rate if you're a sports gambler. And so that was obviously pretty incredible to have a success rate of that level. But lately, the numbers have been adjusted such that it's harder and harder to be able to win in that magnitude. But it still is pretty crazy, honestly.
Clay Travis with us. Clay, what would you do with UT's quarterback situation? The bye week is here. The expectation is Garantano is going to be the guy. Is that the decision you would make?
Well, I mean, I think that it gets into the question of what are you trying to do this season. If you're trying to get ready for next year, I don't think Garantano's the guy. If you're trying to get to 5-5 or maybe an outside chance of 6-4, then I think Garantano is the guy. The positive is we were up, I was up with Chad and a couple of buddies. We were up in Alabama for the Alabama-Tennessee game. And I think there's a good chance Tennessee is going to get one of the top quarterback recruits in the nation, Ty Simpson, to be involved. And
he told us the story about how he interrupted Ty Simpson.
Oh yeah, yeah. Withrow, who is an ultimate Tennessee fan, Ty Simpson's a big fan of mine and a big fan of OutKick. So he came to the tailgate to just meet me and wanted to get a picture and talk. And I knew his name. I didn't know what he looked like. But yeah. Withrow, like we're talking about the recruiting and what that's like and how he's going to make his decision and things like that. And Withrow just comes parachuting in, completely cuts off the conversation to introduce me to somebody. If Ty Simpson goes to Clemson or Alabama, you can blame Chad Withrow for interrupting that discussion.
Yeah, he'll be all over the VolQuest message boards. I lean towards seeing what they have in some of the younger players at the quarterback position, especially this season when, Pruitt, I understand you're playing to win and Garantano gives them the best chance to win, but also he's already got the contract extension. You know what you have, and you clearly don't know how good the younger players are, so why not rotate more of the freshmen in right now?
Well, I think the question is with Harrison Bailey, really. I think it's enough of a sign that J.T. Shrout and Brian Moore are not the guys. And so it's basically, to me, between Jarek Garantano and Harrison Bailey about whether or not they think Bailey is in any way a quarterback in the future.
Clay Travis with us from OutKick. What in regards to what happened in the World Series with the COVID-19 and Justin Tucker, what has been your reaction? What's been the national reaction on Fox with the decision for him to come out and celebrate after the fact and the way Major League Baseball has responded?
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised Major League Baseball is going to respond in an angry way. I mean, first of all, I think Major League Baseball deserves a positive because they managed to finish the season. And there were a lot of people who said, oh, my God, there's no way you can play baseball outside of a bubble. It's impossible. And Major League Baseball had all 30 teams finish. They had a lot of difficulties along the way, especially early with the Miami Marlins, St. Louis Cardinals. But I think they set an important precedent about their ability to play a sport during a time of difficulty, obviously, with the pandemic going on. And so, but with the Justin Turner situation, I mean, to me, the bigger story than Turner being out on the field for pictures is how in the world do you have a testing process in place where you can find out that somebody tested positive after the games have already started? That's the more interesting part, especially when there's only two teams to test. They found out one test was positive in the second inning and another test was positive in the eighth inning. Well, how in the world can you not get day of testing, morning of testing done when you've reached that point in the season where there's only two teams playing the World Series? And I actually think Major League Baseball got very lucky that Blake Snell was pulled because if not, if the Rays go on and win game six, then you're talking about potentially having to sit out for a week or more until game seven is played.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about there. Major League Baseball is upset that he came back out and disregarded whatever protocols in place to go celebrate after winning a World Series. But at the same time, they got test results back in the second inning and didn't remove him from the game until the sixth. So, like, if you're following protocols, what's he doing remaining in the game for that long?
Well, I mean, I think they probably require, because there's so many false positives, which is a huge flaw of the testing process in general, and we've certainly seen that exposed by sports, that they don't want to overreact based on an initial positive, and so they need a confirmation of the test in order to believe that it's an issue. But I just don't know, and I'm not an expert of what tests are being applied, but I know last week I was at the White House, and before I could go interact with all the West Wing figures, I had to pass a test, and it took an hour for them to conduct that test. So if I can get tested and the media can get tested every day at the White House and it can be done in an hour, I don't understand how it's not possible elsewhere for the same thing to happen.
Because of the positive test in the World Series and the fact that they moved the teams to the quote-unquote bubble there in Arlington, do you think the NFL looks at that and thinks, yeah, maybe the playoff bubble isn't necessarily the route to go?
Yeah, I mean, well, who knows what the NFL is going to do from a playoff bubble perspective, but it's a lot harder to get NFL teams. I mean, they're much more, the analogy I always use, the football team is like an aircraft carrier. A basketball team or a baseball team are a lot closer to a speedboat in that the amount of gear you need in order to play games for both teams is substantially less than the NBA and Major League Baseball. The amount of space that the entire team takes up when they travel and all of those things. I think for football, it's a lot more complicated. Not to mention, football, you're only playing one game every week. So you have a lot of time to fill to have people inside of a bubble to play one game. So I tend to think the NFL is probably going to stick with the policy that they have in place right now. We'll see what happens. I think the latest team to have an issue is the Giants right now. If I'm not mistaken, yep. They've got some guys who may have an issue. But I think what the NFL is likely to do is just eliminate the bye week between the AFC and the NFC championship games. And I've been told, based on TV people I talk to, that if necessary, the NFL could easily move the Super Bowl back. I mean, I think the biggest challenge for the NFL is what happens if you've got, let's say, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady both set to play? Because I think that's the two best teams in football right now. In the AFC, still the Chiefs. In the NFC, I think it's the Bucs. What happens if Brady and Mahomes both test positive a day or two before the Super Bowl and aren't allowed to play, and you end up with Blaine Gabbert against Chad Henne? I mean, is the NFL really going to not have those guys play when, I mean, I think this is significant, too. So far, there isn't a single trace of evidence of anybody getting infected from playing football, right? I mean, you might get infected from being in the training room, from being in the meeting room, things like that. But in terms of one guy tackling another one or something like that, there has not been a single evidence of that happening, I don't think, in any sport, contact or otherwise.
Clay Travis with us from OutKick, and when we come back, we'll discuss the positive tests at Wisconsin and the Big Ten leaving themselves no room to maneuver games with 8 games over 8 weeks. We have Clay's take on that and the fact that they're not allowing Nebraska to play UTC, even though Nebraska wants to play this upcoming week. We'll get Clay's take on that and much more straight ahead. But first, Clay, tell us about Ryan Kelly and the great work he's doing.
Yeah, look, I mean, mortgage rates have never been lower at thehomeloanexpert.com. 30-year rates, 15-year rates, we're not far to a couple days from Halloween. And right after Halloween, what happens? It is Thanksgiving season, but more importantly, Christmas holiday season for everybody out there. The amount of presents you're going to have to buy, the amount of money you're going to have to spend, if you've been considering it, now's the time. Rates have never been lower. You can knock off hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars from your expenses. Why not make a smart financial decision? Get hooked up today.
We are live from Edley's Barbecue, Sylvan Park, Midday 180, delivered by Edley's. Edley'sBBQ.com, the website. The brisket burnt ends are on the way. That's the special today. You can find Edley's 12 Southeast Nashville and here in Sylvan Park. Clay Travis remains on the line with us, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay, the Big Ten, no room to maneuver games with 8 weeks to play eight games. What do you make of the decision to not allow Nebraska to play, regardless of what's going on with Wisconsin? And what does this signal for their season? What could this mean implication-wise for Ohio State and others down the road here?
Well, look, the Big Ten has blown this on so many different levels. But first of all, I think the decision not to allow Chattanooga, which passed all virus protocols and everything else, to play a game against Nebraska is unfair to Nebraska and also not ideal for University of Tennessee Chattanooga. And, the larger scale issue here is I feel good about the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 finishing their season. For instance, in the SEC, 36 out of 38 of the games, I believe, assuming the games are going to happen this weekend, which there hasn't been, unless something's happened in the last 45 minutes, there hasn't been any suggestion that's not going to happen. Assuming that that happens, the SEC is well over half of their games, still with an extra week, and still with a lot of teams with bye weeks where they can have some flexibility. So that is pretty good shape. The Big 12 and the ACC have similarly had to postpone, but almost none of them have had to cancel a conference game. We just saw happen with Wisconsin on the road against Nebraska. And so I think it's just a fundamental failure of the Big Ten. They should have started playing earlier in September. They should have had bye weeks built in. And as a result, an Ohio State fan or a Michigan fan who's holding out hope that we could finally beat Ohio State this year, I'm looking around not as concerned about the regular season as I am the question, are we going to play enough games to be able to be considered for the college football playoff? And I'm not sure what the answer to that's going to be, because it feels like this is unlikely to be the only game that gets canceled this season.
Tennessee Sports Gambling is scheduled to start Sunday. How big of a moment is this? Can you put this in perspective for where we're headed with all this?
Well, look, I mean, I have said for a while that I believe there are a few transformative moments in sports in terms of what it's meant to the way that sports are talked about among, you know, friends and family. And the first would be cable, because for those of you out there who are my age or a little bit older, you remember when every game that you wanted to watch was not on television. I'm old enough to remember listening to John Ward call Tennessee football games on radio because they were unavailable to be watched on television anywhere. As we age, there are fewer and fewer people who can imagine that ever being the case. But cable transformed the landscape and added far more people to the overall audience available for television viewing. And you add in television viewing, fantasy football, which happened around, you know, the rise of the internet, where fantasy football suddenly became easy to do, and the NFL viewership exploded in conjunction with fantasy football because it gave everybody a rooting interest in every game, and it made the entirety of the NFL schedule must be television. And then I think sports gambling is going to be the third transformative event of the last, you know, 35 or 40 years, two generations of sports, because what it will do is, one, just bring a tidal wave of cash into the universe of sports. It'll take it off the back alley, and I think what it'll do is get a lot more people who hadn't been gambling. Look, the television ratings for our sports gambling show are surging. I think we've grown more this year than any sports television show on television on any network. And I think our show is good, but I think it's just a sign of way more people being in states where sports gambling is becoming legal. And so there's more interest in sports gambling talk, much like you saw the rise of fantasy sports talk. I think it's going to be hard as things get more and more integrated for there not to be regular discussions about the point spreads, the over-unders, and individual wagers about touchdowns and whatnot. And I think in the state of Tennessee, starting on Sunday with, I think it's FanDuel, MGM, DraftKings, and Action 24/7, people are going to have four options out there to be able to gamble from their phone. And I think it's going to be pretty awesome for everybody.
I'm worried about your bookie. What's the status of his medication? Does he have another career plan? What's going on with him?
Well, my bookie is I think he's basically decided that he has to retire because I've gotten more wealthy, made more and more money. So, I mean, he's gotten to share, much like my wife, he's gotten to share in my income stream growing.
So he beat this thing. He narrowly beat the clock.
Yeah. And, look, I mean, the upside of it all is, and this is, I don't think any great surprise. I mean, there's going to be a lot more money in sports media in general. And I think that's good for sports fans out there who want a lot of good content because much of sports content now is advertiser supported. And, you know, you got beers, you got car insurance companies, mortgage companies, like all these places that reach sports fans. The number one advertising category I would anticipate is now going to become sports gambling.
Yeah, bring them on.
Clay, tomorrow night, I unfortunately, I know Chad can't make it either. We're calling a high school television game tomorrow night, but you have your Halloween extravaganza, and I'm curious what you will be dressed as.
So my wife decides the last several years we've had a couple of costumes. So last year we were Jon Snow and Daenerys. The year before, we were Macho Man and Randy Savage. This year, in honor of the election festivities, I am Uncle Sam, and she is the Statue of Liberty.
Nice.
Okay.
What about the boys?
The boys are, that's a good question. My youngest is obsessed with Minecraft, and I'm not smart enough to understand how the Minecraft universe works, but he is a character from Minecraft. My 10-year-old is going to be a werewolf because he's gotten into werewolves lately. And my 12-year-old, I'm not sure that he's officially committed to a costume at this point. You know, he's kind of on that borderline where he'll turn 13 in January. I'm not sure if he thinks he's too cool to go trick-or-treating now.
Yeah, it's sad to see him right at the not. It's not cool anymore age. And the late commitments, they come in. They're like these undecided voters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'll be going.
I think that it's going to be a good time. Like, we're excited just to be able to see a lot of people. I think Halloween is, I think it's the most fun. I know people, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all those things. July 4th is a lot of fun, too. But I think just in terms of pure fun, without any of the stress typically of travel or expense of cost, you know, like you're not spending a lot of money on a costume compared to the presents that you have to buy for your kids or family members or whatever and the stresses that come with that. For adults, I think Halloween has become by far the best holiday of the year.
Have fun with it, man. Sorry we can't make it, and we'll chat next week.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you guys.
Take care.